Welcome to the Light Warrior Network with me, Dr. Karen Kan. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. And why? So that you can shine your light and love to everyone else in the world. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Kan, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. And today we have a show here. Now, this is pre-recorded for all those listening in live, but pre-recorded because of the new year. So welcome to 2018, everyone. Happy New Year. And with me is Dr. Dennis Loebstein, who we're going to talk about LifeWave patch protocols for dealing with overindulgence over the holidays. For example, you know, we haven't done a show on how to deal with the hangover. So we thought, well, why might as well put that in there because it's, you know, the whole New Year thing. So why not? I mean, we've done so many shows over the last several years about all sorts of different topics, from neurology issues to like digestive issues to joint issues to neck pain to fertility to libido, colds, immune system, all sorts of things. So if you're new to the show and you haven't listened to the first Monday of the month shows with Dr. Dennis and I talking about the LifeWave products and patches and how you can kind of do your own acupressure and your own activate your own healing system using the LifeWave products, you might want to check out our archives at patchtrainingteam.com/LifeWave Radio. That's just all one word, LifeWave, L-I-F-E, W-A-V-E, radio. And you'll see all the archives of the shows, including this one, when we're all set with it. So, Dr. Dennis, welcome to the show.
Well, hey, Dr. Karen. Pleased to be here with you. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So I thought that was a great idea you had to share with us some protocols for when we're maybe not as disciplined as far as our, you know, our diet or drinking too much, what we can do to kind of help ourselves recover quickly. So can you tell us some background about this?
Right. Well, I used to live in New Mexico, and I not only was a professor at the University of New Mexico, but also worked as a medic and on Albuquerque Ambulance. And we used to pick up people that were like totally hungover and stoned, and there are a lot of people under stress. Their native cultures got trampled on and interfered with by two other cultures. I'm talking about Native Americans, and they got tread on by Hispanics, and both got tread on by Caucasians. And anyway, they had perceived reasons to be stressed out, and so they got disconnected from their native ceremonies and cultures, and the kids got separated from the elder folks whom the federal government put in housing and separated them from the kids, and the kids grew up without the guidance of their traditions. So long story short, the kids would use drugs and drink and would find them with a lot of hangovers and get a lot of calls for that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we had lots of reports of people passed out on the sides of the roads in rural areas and so on. But it's not just in New Mexico, and not just because of the cultural situation. There are also a lot of people out here in L.A. who get totally carried away at parties and overindulge and drink a lot. And so I thought we'd focus on what the hangover looks like, especially for New Year's Day, from the perspective of Western physiology, from the perspective of Asian medical physiology, and then that'll give us a background to understand why select the points that we're going to patch and how different patches can affect those points and mitigate or relieve the effects of the hangover.
Sounds good.
Yeah, and it can also apply to jet lag and being stoned. So it's not just alcohol that's a big problem with the next day hangover, but basically we can get toxic from a lot of different sources. But since I was going to focus on alcohol, I just want to break that down a bit. So looking at it from the Western physiological perspective, the kind of alcohol we drink is ethanol that's been fermented. And in the fermentation process, there are substances called congeners in the alcohol. And some examples of the congeners include acetaldehyde, which, by the way, is a breakdown product of ethanol in the body as well. But it's also coming from the fermentation process. We also have acetones and aldehydes and esters and tannins and there's a whole pattern of these that leave a fingerprint depending on what kind of drink it is. So when toxicologists are examining tissue alcohol or blood alcohol levels, they use this pattern of concentration of congeners to tell what kind of alcohol a person drank. So they're in different proportions depending on what you're drinking. But what they do is cause vasodilation, and that puts pressure on nerve endings, especially in the nerve endings on the meninges or the tissue covering the brain. There are lots of nerve endings in there, and most headaches are caused by pressure from vasodilation put on those sensory nerve endings in the meninges. And there's also other changes. So when the ethanol gets metabolized, and the metabolism looks like the following. We've got ethanol exposed to alcohol dehydrogenase. That's an enzyme that breaks it down into acetaldehyde, and that is further broken down into acetic acid. So the acetic acid causes increased pain sensitivity or hyperexcitability. The acetaldehyde itself can cause a flush reaction, and that happens to be called an Asian flush, but not everybody experiences that. Let's see, there's other effects too of the alcohol are dehydration and metabolic acidosis, and there's a change in the immune system and also in our glucose metabolism, and those changes result in inflammation. And as we've discussed in previous shows, inflammation is an underlying cause of many degenerative diseases and create blockages. So we'll talk about the effects of the blockages in a few minutes. But inflammation is one of the causes, the major one. And that's from the irritation of on the tissues, swelling. There are also changes in prostaglandins that contribute to that inflammation, and in cytokines. And so there are a whole host of chemical things going on that influence the feeling of a hangover. And that includes changes in glucose, like if we're overindulging and eating too much, especially sugary stuff, simple carbs, then we can mess with our insulin balance, and the sugar is an irritant that contributes to the inflammation. And we'll get into it in a minute, but from a TCM perspective, the spleen does not like excess sweet. So,
right.
So that excess sweet contributes to inflammation from the perspective of a TCM by interfering with the spleen chi. And as you mentioned before, that creates damp.
So, and fried foods too, right?
Yeah, right. Fat, because of fat. So spleen does not like sweet. It does not like fat, and it does not like cold. And so ice cream is one of the prime indulgences that interferes with the spleen chi. And that results in accumulation of damp, because the role of spleen is to get rid of damp and to process too much water in the body or damp. So it's not just water. We're talking about fluids as well.
Well, I just want to ask you about the fat for a second, Dr.
Yeah,
Dennis, because
sure.
A lot of people are having great results in diabetes, chronic pain. They're even trying it for cancer now with the ketogenic diet, which is very high fat, moderate protein, low carb. So how can we get a decrease of inflammation using that diet when there's so much fat involved?
Well, there are a large number of different kinds of fats, that some of which contribute to healthy physiology, like increased catabolism or breaking down of the fat, and some of it increases to more stimulates more inflammation and the wrong kinds of prostaglandins, and so it depends on what kind of fat it is. If it's a commercial, say, French fry or fatty food, it's likely to have the wrong kinds of fats in it, including
right.
trans fats that are going to contribute to the inflammation. But if there are fats from oils such as olive oil or avocado oil or walnut oil, they're going to be higher in omega-3s. And there will be different pathways for breaking them down, and they won't have disruptive inflammatory side effects. In fact, they might even decrease inflammation.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, and as a side effect of frying foods, we get acrylamide. And acrylamides are potentially carcinogenic and stimulate inflammatory processes, and they're not good. So it's really not good to indulge in too many fried foods in general.
Right. I always get these, not always, but if I eat one too many fried foods, I'll like get these painful red spots on my tongue.
Yeah.
That's one of my signs, excess. Like damp or heat, actually, in that case.
What part of the tongue are they on?
Sometimes the sides, sometimes the tip.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so if I eat too much fried foods, I'll know.
Right. Well, the tip is reflecting what the heart's doing, the heart meridian, and the sides of the tongue are more of the spleen. In fact, when the spleen isn't processing damp properly and you get more edema in the tongue, you get these tooth marks on the side of the tongue.
Yeah, I have that chronically, I think. It's a little better from time to time, but I have a tendency to have damp. So I use those spleen points a lot when I patch.
Right. So those teeth marks are indicative of spleen chi deficiency, the spleen chi deficiency could be chronic condition, as you're alluding to, or it could be an acute condition resulting from really fatty foods or foods that cause the body to collect fluids or inflammation. So as a result of all this, these toxins in the alcohol and in as byproducts of overindulgence, like processing glucose, we get symptoms like headaches and drowsiness and fatigue and brain fog and dry mouth and feeling dizzy and having lower concentration and GI distress, and there could be sweating and feelings of depression and anxiety, and also some nausea and vomiting. So any one or combination of those could be a pattern of a hangover. And if you look at that pattern from the perspective of traditional Chinese medicine, we're looking at liver qi stagnation and yang rising, which can contribute to headaches and blockages in the Shaoyang channel, and also high blood pressure. And also what we're looking at, damp heat toxicity or toxic heat from damp, or toxic heat that is associated with damp, because the spleen's not functioning right, as we talked about. And also, blood pooling or not moving properly, which is causing blood stasis or stagnation, and that can create blockages and contribute to the inflammation. And the liver regulates the direction of the flow of blood and where blood channels to around the body. So if the liver qi is stagnant, we're going to get some blood stasis as a side effect of that. And there's also addiction involved, because the endorphins respond to the alcohol. And I discovered this when I was working on my research for my dissertation, for my PhD at Purdue. I was interested in how exercise affects endorphins. And endorphins are endogenous opiates or opioids that the brain makes itself. And the limbic part of the brain, the part of the brain responsible for emotionality, and beneath the limbic brain, the hypothalamus and the pituitary, which secretes hormones or endocrine hormones that regulate a lot of processes in the body, are under the regulation of the endogenous opioids to some degree. And that's that whole opioid system is superimposed on by the endocannabinoid system as well. So if we overindulge in cannabis and get stoned, we're accessing that system as well. And that opioid system in the limbic brain is what I call the satisfaction and reward system. And other people call that too. But I was interested in how endorphins being affected by exercise have their influence on the brain's satisfaction and reward system. And I discovered, first I had a hypothesis that people got addicted to exercise because of the endorphin system. And because exercise is a stress, it increases endorphins, and that makes one feel more satisfied and happy when exercising, and euphoric, like the exercise euphoria one feels when working out. And one can get addicted to it because it takes more and more exercise to increase endorphins to get the same hit or effect. And one goes through withdrawal symptoms, which are the opposite of euphoria when not exercising.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we get the same kinds of effects when exposed to drugs like alcohol and, excuse me a minute, somebody's texting me and I have to check it. Sorry. It's my sister. I just want to make sure she's okay. All right. So, alcohol, it turns out, we get addicted to, and chronic alcoholics, just like people that chronically use exercise, have lower endorphin levels. Now, with exercise, that's the opposite of what I hypothesized. I thought people that exercise would have higher resting endorphin levels, but it turns out that they're lower when they're not exercising. And so I went back to the literature and on addiction to try to figure out why, and I discovered that alcoholics have lower endorphin levels when they're at rest, or when they're not drinking or not subject to the stress of the alcohol or the drinking.
Right.
Levels are lower. And the same thing with heroin addicts. They simulate a higher endorphin level when they're shooting up, but when they're not exposed to the heroin, their circulating, resting, fasting early morning endorphin levels are actually lower. So there's some kind of addiction mechanism involved with the endorphins, where people that subject themselves to stress, either of exercise or of alcohol or other kinds of drugs, including cigarette smoking, or even overindulgence in food, actually have lower endorphin levels when they're at rest and not getting their hit.
How do you know that it's, are you saying it's caused by the stress of those things, or that they naturally have lower endorphin levels and therefore they get addicted in order to be normal, to feel normal?
Yeah, the latter. They get addicted and need a stronger hit in order to feel satisfied or quote unquote normal. And so they have to subject themselves to the hit of whatever rushes their endorphin system to get an endorphin high in order to feel quote unquote normal.
Wow.
And people that exercise really get carried away with that overindulgence. You're probably somewhat familiar with that, and people that are overzealous about their skating protocol and so on.
Well, you know, I don't have a lot of high-level skaters here, but I do know some friends. I can definitely, you know, adult skating friends that definitely have had problems where, you know, they have to skate every day. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they don't feel good. They start to get stiff, or they start to not be able to, you know, skate as well. And it seems like they're pushing themselves, or somebody that has to run. Otherwise, they get depressed, you know?
Yeah,
so that's a problem, and it kind of drains their adrenals too, and I definitely tell you it's not very popular, the advice that they need to change their habits.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't like changing because they know they're not going to get their hit. And,
right.
And so part of the hangover could be caused by a withdrawal symptom from not getting the hit.
Mm-hmm.
And a backlash from the hit, like what goes up has to come down. And part of it is because, like in the case of alcohol, we have these congeners that are having all these side effects that I described. And the breakdown of the alcohol, increasing the acetaldehyde levels, causes a lot of these symptoms. So we're dealing both with the effects of the toxicity and the effects of the withdrawal.
Right. Okay.
And so from a TCM perspective, as I was mentioning, the liver is very challenged to get rid of toxins, and it can get stagnant when it's hit too much or when the toxins are overwhelming. In fact, one of the major causes of liver cheese stagnation are even over-the-counter drugs like nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory drugs and prescription drugs like the statins. They overwhelm liver metabolism and cause liver cheese stagnation and result in a lot of the same symptoms.
And that includes acetaminophen, which here in America, the brand name is Tylenol.
That's right. So, ironically, when you take a Tylenol or acetaminophen to mitigate pain or to get rid of the pain, it'll block the signal for the pain, and it doesn't get rid of the cause of the pain, which in Chinese medicine is a blockage or inflammation. It will, in turn, cause long-term liver cheese stagnation that will result in even more pain.
Right, right.
So that's not a good approach. If you understand the energetic dynamics in Chinese medicine, how it affects liver qi. And that's also because the liver qi stagnation affects the spleen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called wood attacking earth. If you look at the five element cycle, the wood is a grandmother for earth, and the grandmother attacks the grandchild when it's out of whack or out of balance, or if it's too stagnant. And so the liver qi stagnation will cause the liver to attack the spleen, because the spleen's in earth and the liver's in wood. And so when we're looking at that dynamic, we're looking at how the spleen qi becomes weak and can't do its job when it's attacked by the liver too much. And so that means that the spleen cannot get rid of damp, and we result in accumulation of fluids and inflammation, and that contributes to more pain. But the spleen's role is also to keep blood in its vessels, and if the spleen qi is weak, there's more of a risk of having what's called reckless blood in Chinese medicine, and that means it jumps out of the vessels, and when that happens in the brain, you got a stroke. And when it happens in the heart, you got a heart attack. And so this is serious business to look at liver qi stagnation, because ultimately we're looking at increasing the risk of blood pressure and stroke and heart attack and so on. So in order to get rid of liver qi stagnation, we use liver 3. Because liver 3, as you know, Dr. Karen, will dissipate stagnant liver qi.
I love liver 3.
yeah, me too. It's an awesome point. In fact, I got a set of isolate patches on my wood right now with the tan isolate patch on my left liver 3 and the white isolate patch on my right gallbladder 41, which is the master point for the belt channel. And the belt channel can access all the ascending and descending meridians around the waist. It's the only horizontal channel we have. And because it's got such widespread influence, and it's part of wood, because gallbladder is the yang phase of the wood element, where liver is the yin, we have a yin-yang pair with ice wave patches on it by using liver 3 and gallbladder 41.
So that would be good for, that combination would be good for hangovers?
Yeah, yes, it would. Mm. It would be good for hangovers, because it dissipates the liver qi stagnation, and it also regulates blood flow. And so it will mitigate the pressure of the blood and move it away from the vasodilation state with pressure on the nerve endings in the meninges and quiet that down a bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I always thought that the headache from a hangover was due to dehydration and the brain shrinking, but I don't know where I heard that from, biochemistry class or something.
Oh, that's one of the components. I mentioned dehydration earlier. I just didn't get into the brain shrink part of it.
Oh, okay, because we mentioned before about expansion causing the blood vessels expanding, causing pain, and I was talking about shrinking causing pain.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true too. Dehydration, well, there are three compartments where we have fluid. There's intracellular, fluid inside the cells, and interstitial fluid, which is fluid outside the cells, and then the lymph and the blood, which is flowing fluid that's carried all over the body. So we get rid of toxins and keep them from accumulating by having a healthy circulation of lymph and blood that go into areas where there's inflammation or where fluid's accumulating. and getting rid of the toxins. So if you're not getting rid of those toxins, you're circulating the outer fluid, like the lymph and the blood, very well, then you'll have an accumulation of toxins and also fluid, and that causes other areas to be dehydrated when you're not circulating fluid very well. And while the LifeWave patches in general will increase the hydration of the intracellular space, the alcohol will cause dehydration. And that's because if you've got alcohol in the blood, due to osmosis, the fluid's going to leave the intracellular space, the space inside the cells, to attempt to dilute the fluid that has more particles in it that the osmosis can sense needs to be equalized fluid-wise. So the fluid's going to go from the inside of the cells to the outside of the cells, and that happens in the brain as well, and that's going to dehydrate the cells in the brain.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so dehydration is definitely a part of it, and the patches, when you wear them, resolve dehydration. But drinking fluids will do that too, and that's important to drink fluids when you're wearing patches because it makes the patches work better too.
Yeah, cool. I also heard from my biochemistry professor, who she was, of course, talking to us, college people. I wasn't one of those that liked to drink a lot, but because I get that Asian flush thing and, like, what's the point? I just get sleepy. But my colleagues definitely were drinking a lot. She was talking about how if you drink excessively on a regular basis, that your brain membranes get more fluid and don't have as much structure. So what happens is the body will decrease the amount of cholesterol that's in your cell membranes to balance that so that it doesn't get too fluid. But then if you stop drinking, wait, what was the other way? No, sorry, the other way around. I think increase cholesterol in the membrane to hold it together. But then when you stop drinking and you kind of withdraw, and then what happens is like your cells get like hard because there's too much cholesterol in there now. Because they were used to being too fluid. I think I got that right anyway. Something like that she was telling us, and that was really fascinating.
Yeah, well, this process I mentioned earlier of the ethanol breaking down into acetaldehyde, the acetaldehyde also causes imbalances of lipid metabolism. And what you described with the cholesterol is part of that. And so is increasing triglyceride levels and amino acid synthesis, and it decreases the amphibolic pathway called the TCA cycle, and that the TCA cycle is important for generating energy, like reduced equivalents of NAD to NADH, and our bodies need the NADH to make ATPs with in the electron transport chain that's coupled with oxidative phosphorylation, and those pathways are hooked into the TCA cycle, and so the acetaldehyde from the drinking can interfere with making energy as well. And we know that the energy enhancer patches boost oxidative catabolism, or using oxygen to burn fat, and in that respect can help balance or correct that pathway. And the acetaldehyde also disturbs cortisol levels and will increase them, and we can use the Eon patches to balance cortisol levels. And it will interfere with fibrinogenesis, and the Eon patches can help balance that. And it also interferes with glutathione synthesis.
Right, right.
So we have oxidative stress going on here that because glutathione is interfered with and lowered from the oxidative stress of the alcohol, will cause the alcohol to contribute to more cell death from oxidative stress. So, you know, we hear about how you kill brain cells when you drink too much. Well, that's because of oxidative stress.
Okay. Well, I think that, you know, my mom used to always, well, she still says that everything in moderation. So are there benefits to drinking alcohol in moderation if you're not sensitive to it?
In moderation, yeah, that's a good point. Because there are a lot of studies that show that drinking red wine, for example, in moderation, like maybe one shot a night or something like that, because it's got bioflavonoids in it, which are antioxidants, can help lower blood fats. So, yeah, it's like a double-edged sword. If you overindulge, then you wreck up the system. But if you do it in moderation, then it could be beneficial.
Right. Is that true for, you know, brandy or, you know, vodka or whatever? I mean, I was worried because I think some of the alcohol was made with GMO, genetically modified, you know, plants. So just curious what your perspective on hard liquor was.
Right. Especially if you're dealing with the alcohol that's fermented from grain. Because grain is often GMO, especially corn. And 90% of all the corn in the U.S. is GMO. And the grains also have glyphosates in them from Monsanto Roundup. Mm. So the glyphosates are another entity that increase inflammation and blockages and create pain and disruptions of metabolism. So, yeah, you want to be careful about the source of the alcohol because the grain that it's made with makes a difference. So those things like glyphosate that I just mentioned and the GMO fractions like the BT pesticides in the corn contribute to the congener pattern in the alcohol when we're looking at grain alcohol.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Wow. So we'll have to maybe look up GMO-free whatever alcohol.
Right. Yeah, most people don't think of that when they go for their alcohol.
No,
most people read the labels or the ingredients or see what the alcohol was fermented from. But that turns out to be pretty important.
Wow. Okay. Thanks for that.
Yeah. And in fact, since I mentioned glyphosate, glyphosate toxicity is often mistaken for wheat gluten. It's mistaken for wheat gluten. So, all these effects we hear about with wheat gluten toxicity, those are mostly the result of glyphosate toxicity, not wheat gluten.
Mm.
So,
interesting.
If you know people that have wheat gluten toxicity, I would rule out the source of what they're eating and make sure they're not getting too much glyphosate. The glyphosate permeates almost everything, even grass, because people spray Roundup on their dandelions, and so they've got residual glyphosate even in their lawns, and they walk over it, and then they track it in their house, and it gets into everything. And dandelions are really potent Chinese herb. I wouldn't be killing them with pesticides. I would be harvesting them and keeping their roots because dandelion roots make a really good tea that gets rid of liver cheese stagnation. And one component of some forms of cancer result in liver cheese stagnation. And dandelion root tea is known in Chinese medicine to get rid of what we would call cancer in the West. So it's, I hope the FDA doesn't hear this because they'll ban dandelion root tea.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, yeah, so I'll have to share some of that information. So we have not a lot of time left. So do you want to make sure we cover the protocols? You mentioned one, which was the ice wave, tan on left liver 3 and right gallbladder 41.
Right. Yeah. So that's one possibility to have a yin-yang pair in wood. There's also a really powerful protocol called the Four Gates, and that's using large intestine 4 with liver 3.
I love that.
So the Four Gates actually come from 2 liver 3 points and 2 large intestine 4 points.
Mm-hmm.
But we can modify it with the patches if we only want to use one pair of ice wave or energy enhancer patches, or even an Eon patch with an SP6 patch. We'd put the positive patch on the right large intestine 4 and the negative patch on left liver 3, and we have the setup for 4 gates.
Ah, you don't have to patch both sides?
I don't have to, no. It works like that.
Wow.
But if you wanted to patch both sides and make it even more powerful, then you could put the negative patches, like the tan patches or the SP6 patch, on both right and left liver 3, and then put the positive patches on both right and left large intestine 4. And so then, instead of having a right-left paradigm where the right's positive and the left side is negative patches, you have a sky-earth paradigm where you put the positive patches in sky, which is above the belly button, and the negative patches in earth, which is below the belly button.
Okay. Is that a problem for people with headaches or things that have liver yang rising to put two white patches above the diaphragm? Or not really? Not a problem?
No, because large intestine 4 will actually pull that excess yang qi rising or yang qi going up to the head, creating headaches like migraines and so on. It will pull it down out of the head.
Ah, okay. Gotcha.
So it's actually beneficial the way you said.
Does it matter whether it's ice wave or energy patches?
No.
Okay.
If you've got pain, the ice wave patches will work faster, but the energy enhancer patches will do the same thing. It'll just take longer, like maybe 10, 20 minutes.
But you might have more energy.
Well, you get energy from the ice wave patches too, because the ice wave patches have the same set of frequencies the energy enhancer patches have.
Okay.
The energy enhancer patches were developed by David Schmidt first. We had those first before the ice wave. And then when he developed the ice wave patches, the idea was to add another set of frequencies that break through blockages quickly to the energy enhancer patches. And those became the ice wave patches. And so you can use the ice wave patches to double as energy enhancer, but you also get the added effect of breaking through blockages with them quickly.
Okay, very cool. Very cool.
Fast pain relief from the ice wave.
Yeah, I like that. I like the four. So we have the modified 4 gates. We've just got the simple one, which you talked about, removing stagnant liver qi, which is the ice wave on the left liver 3, and the tan on the left, and then the right white one on gallbladder 41. And then we've got the 4 gates protocol, the modified one, where you're just using one set of patches, so two patches, either the white on the right large intestine 4 and the tan on the left liver 3, or the SP6, of course, because that's a negative patch. You said you could also use, instead of, ice wave or energy enhancer, you could use a positively charged patch on the right, such as Eon or even glutathione. And that just uses one set of patches, so two separate patches. And then the regular 4 gates protocol, which is more powerful, And in this case, we're using a sky earth paradigm, so both tan patches on liver 3 and both white patches on large intestine 4. I think that's a really good one for travel.
Yeah, in fact, I shared that with David years ago, David Schmidt, who's traveling a lot when he's developing LifeWave in Europe way back when. And he remarked that Four Gates was a really useful protocol for getting rid of jet lag or preventing any.
Yeah, that's great. So you would do it while you're traveling and afterwards to prevent jet lag symptoms?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So jet lag's a result of messing up one's biorhythms, and so there's a biorhythmic component to hangover as well. It's probably related to the DMT system in the pineal, so because light patterns can affect the pineal body, and how much DMT secretion we're putting out. DMT is a hallucinogen, and the body makes its own hallucinogen. So,
yeah, sounds good to me.
Yeah. So I want to add too, because we're pressed for time, that when you're using yin yang pair, like the tan one on left liver 3 and the white ice wave on right large intestine 4, I often put one of the YH patches, like an Eon or a glutathione. And in fact, I developed this protocol before we even had Eon patches. So I'd say put the glutathione on gallbladder 8, which is right above the apex of the ear on the side of the head. And gallbladder 8 is a point that's indicated for alcohol addiction in Chinese medicine as well.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
And sometimes that works better in people, and sometimes the gallbladder 41 will work better. So you can experiment with the person you're working on and put the glutathione on gallbladder 8 or gallbladder 41 and see which one they like best.
Okay. And that, would you put that on top of the white patch of the ice wave or instead of? In that yin yang pairing protocol,
right? That's when you have the white ice wave patch on right large intestine 4, so you don't have it on gallbladder 41.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, gotcha.
But having said that, it's also possible to stack the glutathione on top of the white ice wave patch on gallbladder 41 if you chose to put the white ice wave patch on the right gallbladder 41.
Okay. Sounds cool. Great. Dr. Dennis, wow, we have some three great sets of protocols here for people. And I think even if you didn't overindulge in alcohol, these are still excellent protocols to get that liver, that liver chi flowing. And I know for me, when I do African drumming and I'm using like a lot of upper body, you know, stuff a lot, sometimes I can feel like blood stagnation in my arms because I'm drumming so, you know, trying to drum so hard and fast, especially for performance. And it, like, I literally get swollen, you know, in my arms and my forearms. So I notice that my endurance is so much better when I use energy enhancer patches on liver 3. I'll also use them on triple burner. Sometimes I'll use ice wave on triple burner. So sometimes I'll, because that's just a point that is accessible and won't fall off when I'm drumming. So I'll put like energy enhancer patches on like liver 3 and then maybe ice wave on triple burner 5, because that's the channel that tends to get like poofy when I'm drumming. And then I'll put, you know, Eon and possibly even SB6 on the center line when I'm performing, just to get that energy flowing, you know, in the entire body.
Wow. You know, I'll never look at those drummers in the tiki room at Disneyland the same. I'll always think that those drummers should be wearing energy enhancer patches.
Yeah, really. Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Dennis, again for another very, very fascinating topic. And thanks, everyone, for listening in. Until next time, bye for now.
Pleasure, Dr. Karen. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Dr. Karen.
Thank you, Dr. Dennis.